I'm a big believer in being proactive, not reactive. And I think that that's what keeps us in front and on top of the ball. We every day try and live by that in this agency. As soon as you become reactive, you're behind the eight ball.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. With thanks to our partner Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To get access to all of Elite Agent's premium resources, including a detailed episode guide for this podcast, visit joineliteagent.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Elevate podcast producer, Cass Charlesworth, stepping in on behalf of Samantha McLean as host of today's show. Our guest on today's show is Rain and Horn Curry Curry co-director and business development manager, Ryan Mitchell. Ryan was named Residential Property Manager of the Year at the 2020 annual REA Excellence Awards. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. 2021 kicked off with a bit of a bang for you. You turned 30, which is a milestone birthday in anyone's books. And then within weeks, you were named REA Property Manager of the Year. Did the rest of the year live up to this grand expectation?
Pretty much. It's been a jam-packed year. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, been really good.
What happened after the win? So what have you been up to in the period since?
So we've gone through a rebrand here in the agency. So that was a big part of it, 2021. We've recently actually just taken over another agency. So we've just expanded the property management department as well. So that's all under wraps at the moment.
That is exciting because last year, one of the reasons you won the area was because you had expanded your property management department. I think it was 58%, 59%, sorry. So how much have you expanded by now with the incorporating that second business?
We've taken on an extra about 180 properties. We're roughly sitting at around 320. So we're pretty much over doubled our rent roll.
That's a big jump in a couple of years. How have you managed that growth? Because clearly there'd be staffing issues and how are you coping with that?
I've got a property officer underneath me that was only part-time before I won the award. We've put her on a full-time role as a property officer. And we've also employed another full-time property officer to help me run the day-to-day running of the portfolio.
Excellent. That's exciting. What's going on in the Hunter? Because we're hearing a lot about people moving to regional areas. So I was wondering if that's something that you're seeing in your particular market. Are you seeing people exiting places like Sydney and Melbourne and moving to the Hunter?
Yeah, we've seen a massive growth in the Hunter and people relocating from Sydney, especially up to the Hunter. People now realise that they don't have to work in Sydney itself and can relocate to the Hunter and work from home. So we've got a huge shortage of rental properties in the area, and we're seeing anywhere from 50 to 70 applications per property at the moment, and rents are just soaring through the roof.
How do you manage that expectation with tenants? So if you've got, 50 or 70 people applying for a property, what are you telling them at that point in time?
We're just letting them know that there is a shortage, that, we process all the applications. We do look through all of them and only the shortlisted will be contacted for an inspection. We find it just be upfront and honest and let everyone know. Everyone's in the same boat. They're all looking for a property and unfortunately one person can get it. So we're doing our best to try and help everyone. But at the end of the day, there's one property and one tenant that can get it.
How are you managing that as a team? Because that's quite stressful to be dealing with people who are missing out on properties, who might be frustrated, who are anxious about where they're moving to. How are you handling that?
I've heard a lot of sad stories, to be honest. People, that are worried and becoming homeless, people that are having to live in motels, moving with family and friends. And it is really quite difficult have to have those conversations with those tenants that are missing out. And people are just desperate at the moment. We consistently just keep letting the team know that, we're doing the best that we can. We're processing all the applications. We're doing the right thing. We're not giving anyone an opportunity to get a property. But at the end of the day, like I said, unfortunately, the market is just such a demand at the moment that people are missing out.
Look, we're seeing that in lots of areas. I actually live in Noosa, and that's been a particular problem up there. And because the rents are beginning to skyrocket, what you're seeing is that the people who service the Noosa region, your teachers, your nurses, your waitresses, can no longer afford to rent in that area. And that becomes a major social problem. Is that something that you're encountering as well with skyrocketing rents?
Yeah, absolutely. We have where, you know, properties are coming to re-let again on the market, and we're seeing rent increases of anywhere from $50 up. You know, lease renewals are taking place where renting, and, you know, we're looking at the current market, and, you know, tenants are getting a shock because the rents are going up, you know, more than $50. You can only do one rent increase in 12 months, but it is quite a shock, and, you know, it's a lot of people are becoming homeless, unfortunately, because of it.
And what conversations are you having with your landlords around those rent increases?
Yeah, so look, we're just, we always supply our landlords with comparables of what the market's doing. We do regular newsletters and things like that as well to our landlords. So they're always continually updated with what's happening in the market. So it doesn't come as a huge shock to them. But we are also finding too that a lot of landlords are also happy to sort of try and help tenants out by not asking for market rent and still trying to keep it under a little bit. You know, when you're going to a landlord and asking them, you know, letting them know that the property is now, you know, $80 rent increase to get market value, you know, they're quite happy just to settle for $50 rather than, you know, to try and push it up that extra bit. So in that sense, we're trying to look after the tenants as well. And the landlords are really good in the sense that we, you know, they are happy to sort of help and realise that the market's really tough at the moment. So they're also trying to play their part, we notice.
Let's talk about this rebrand. So when did that occur?
So July this year. Well, the 1st of July we rebranded.
And what prompted the rebrand?
We're actually approached by Rain and Horn to see if we're interested probably about 12 months before we rebranded. It was just, it was actually good timing because our franchise agreement and everything like that was coming to an end, something that we probably weren't considering doing. But when we spoke to Tina from Rain and Horn, just seeing the marketing materials, the platforms that they can use, the technology, we just realized that I think Rain and Horn moving forward as a brand is going to be, you know, the leading brand within a couple of years. What they have to offer that other agency and franchises don't offer is second to none.
I'd also like to talk to you. Your story is interesting because not only are you a business development manager, but you are also a co-director of the business. And this is a little bit unique to have a sort of property management perspective in the leadership team. What does that perspective bring to the business, do you think?
Look, I think it's really important. You know, like you said, a lot of directors are sales orientated. And I think the real estate game has changed to what it used to be. It used to just be a rentals department or rentals, but now it is actually, you know, it's the backbone of any agency. It's the bread and butter. You know, it's the rolling over of the income. So, you know, to have someone in that side of field or in the department working alongside another director, my business partner, Carolyn, who runs the sales, I just think that that really helps us manage the agency.
And what prompted you to step up to become a co-director of the business? Because I understand you invested heavily in it at that point in time too.
I've always said that I wanted to be a director. I'm the type of person that, you know, won't stop until I get to the top, so to speak. So I knew I'm very driven, and I knew getting into real estate, and especially when I found the field that I wanted to be in, which was property management, that one day I did want to be the director. The director was the top for me. Me and Carolyn actually used to work together 10 years ago, and we went our separate ways, and then, got back in contact, and I knew then that it was the right move, and that prompted it. But I always knew from the get-go 10 years ago that, you know, one day I wanted my own agency. So that's where I was heading. I was always driving to reach that goal.
Now, property management has been a bit tricky over the past 18 months. That's probably putting it pretty mildly. We've had things like rental moratoriums. There's been a lot of things going on. And in addition to that, from what I understand, New South Wales implemented some new legislation last year, I think it was. How have you been navigating some of the challenges, or what have been the biggest challenges for you in the past 18 months?
Yeah, the biggest challenges is just getting your head around and keeping up with the changes, especially when COVID hit, you know, or prior to that, in March last year, we had the, you know, the New South Wales legislation changes, and there was a lot of changes to the legislation. So, you know, going to training, you know, advising the team, getting everyone up to speed, and then COVID hit, and that just backflipped everything. There was a whole new legislation again around COVID, and it continued to change daily. So it was, you know, being kept up to date by corporate. It was doing webinars. It was, you know, reading all the information that was coming through, and then relaying that to our tenants and landlords and staff to make sure that everyone was updated. But for me, that was the biggest challenge, to try and stay in front and on top of what was changing every day.
What sort of communication strategies did you have in that time?
Yeah, so we pretty much just kept communicating with our landlords and tenants. It was phone calls, emails. You know, we were sending out weekly, if not daily, updates. Every time there was a legislation change, our landlords or tenants were notified of it. And, you know, especially when tenants were COVID affected or owners were COVID affected, you know, what avenues they had to go down to try and get the support that they needed financially. We just had an open line of communication. I'm a big believer in being proactive, not reactive. I think that that's what keeps us in front and on top of the ball. We every day try and live by that in this agency. As soon as you become reactive, you're behind the eight ball.
That's a very, very good point. Well, let's turn to the areas if we can. I understand it was actually your colleague, Carly Forsdyke, who nominated you for Property Manager of the Year. How did she put that idea to you?
I remember walking into my office one day and she just said, I'm going to nominate you for the ARIA. And then it was, she submitted it all and put it all together and gave me the final copy and I read through it. And it was 100% Carly who put me forward for the award. And to be honest with you, I didn't expect to even become a finalist. Curry's a very small, remote country town, and when you're looking at a national award that's across Australia wide, I thought someone from the big cities would be getting it.
So what was it like to get that phone call?
Yeah, I was a bit gobsmacked, to tell you the truth. I didn't know what to say. I wasn't expecting it. You know, my nomination was out there. I knew Carly had put me forward, which I was, really happy with. But, to become a finalist, I was speechless. I really couldn't believe it, especially, like I said, I just, you know, you've got to put yourself in these things to be able to have a chance to win it, which I always believe in. You put yourself out there. But deep down, I thought that, you know, Melbourne, Sydney, someone from there in the big agencies would have taken the award out. So, I think it was a lot of silence on the phone call when I got it.
Did you celebrate?
We did. I believe at that time we were still sort of coming out of COVID. There were still a lot of restrictions and things like that. We definitely celebrated, just went out for dinner and things like that with the team.
One of the big reasons that you picked up the award was the rent roll growth that you managed to achieve. As I mentioned before, that your rent roll increased 59% in the year. It went from 80 properties under management to 127. How did you achieve that growth? What strategies were you using to grow that rent roll?
Yeah, I sort of went a little bit left field with some of the strategies that we were using. We got in contact with a couple of buyer's agents from Sydney that were helping investors invest up here, and just worked alongside them, gave them rental appraisals on properties that they were looking at, even though they weren't any of our listings, spoke to their clients, just went through the property management procedure from start to finish. So that played a big, big part in our growth. During COVID, we actively just made sure that the public knew that we were still open for business. We've got a big Facebook and Instagram following that Carly from our marketing team looks after. She's grown that quite well. So it was just a lot of Facebook and marketing, social media posts, and just making sure that everyone knew that we were open for business, and having my phone handy, not missing a phone call, taking every call that came, and a lot of it was new business.
That's very committed on your behalf. How do you maintain the energy? If you're taking every phone call that's coming in, how do you mentally gear up for the day and maintain that level of energy?
It does wear you out sometimes, but every day is a new day. So, I just get up and I sort of look at when my phone rings, it could be a new listing. So if you don't take the call, you're not going to get it.
That's a good point. Okay, so let's talk about what's happened in the year since. So you've won. What did it mean to actually win the area? How did you use that win to your advantage, or how did you denote it to your clients?
So we blasted it all over the social media, of course. We've got the real estate banners on the rentals. So we've got the banners down the side when you're looking at realestate.com. We've got that on five suburbs. And just making sure, again, when you're going to appraisals, bring it up to prospective clients and let them know, because it is a really good tool for winning business. You know, when you say to them that you have just won the award of 2020 and it's a national award, you know, when they've got your competitors, you know, coming in behind you, that's pretty hard to beat.
Dean Mackey mentioned, I spoke to him earlier actually, and Dean Mackey, who won Residential Agency of the Year, Di Jones, he mentioned that one really useful thing about doing the application process is it allows you to analyse your business, to see what you've achieved over the past year, where there's room for maybe improvement and the things, those milestones that you've achieved. Did you feel that reading back over your submission as well?
Most definitely. When you can see the rent roll growing and you can see, you know, you're putting in 110% and the hard work, but when you actually read and it's there in front of you, black and white, of what you've achieved, it's quite a good feeling. I wasn't ever thinking that I'd grown the rent roll by 59% at all. I knew I'd grown it, but when you actually sit down and do the figures and it's there in front of you, then it's a really good achievement.
Do you have any advice for other people who may be considering nominating for the award?
Yeah, definitely just go for it. If you think that you've achieved something and you're working hard and you have what it takes to be an award winner, then you're not going to win it unless you're in it. So I encourage everyone that thinks that they want to enter because, I never thought I would win it and I have. So, definitely go ahead.
And what's next for Rain and Horn Curry Curry? What's ahead on the agenda? You've picked up another rent roll. What's happening now?
Yeah, so we've just taken over another rent roll. So that's just doubled our portfolio again. So we've just taken on another full-time property officer. We're looking for we're about to expand the office as well because we've outgrown this now. So we've got that all happening sort of late December, early January, and also looking at putting on another sales agent. So just continuing to grow. That's the main goal.
That's really exciting. I'm about to wind up here, so I'll ask you the final question that we ask all our guests, and that is, what's one piece of advice or a key takeaway that you would like to leave our listeners with today?
My advice would be for all the property managers, to be proactive, not reactive. I think in the industry and the role that we play in the real estate, if we aren't in front and we're falling behind the eight ball, that's when you start losing managements and owners start looking at other options. So the big thing for me is just make sure that you have a look at the systems and everything like that you're using and make sure they're up to scratch to make sure that you can stay proactive and don't fall behind and be reactive.
That's great advice. Ryan Mitchell, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast, with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to get access to all of Elite Agent's premium resources, including a detailed episode guide for this podcast. Visit joineliteagent.com.